Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then we consider what you know of the news of the day. As the government prepares for the rollout of the national vaccination program, the question of whether to vaccinate foreign workers for free is still being debated. The Special Vaccine Supply Access Guarantee Committee says that they are going to be discussing this issue by the end of the month, but so far we've not heard any updates on the matter as yet. What will it take to ensure that all non-citizens, who, according to official numbers, make up 10% of the Malaysian population, that they will have free and equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines? Joining us on the show tonight, we have Rani Rasaya. She's the coordinator of the Migrant Workers' Right to Redress Coalition and also the head of the Migrant Desk at Parti Socialist Malaysia. Good evening, Rani. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Now,
good evening.
There are those who argue that access to vaccines for non-citizens should be allowed, but only provided if they pay. Now, do you see a potential problem with this, with charging migrants or perhaps their employers? Could that derail efforts for us to effectively vaccinate the population?
Okay. I think for a vaccination program to be successful, we must get about 70 to 80% of the population vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And if you take the Malaysian situation, we have at least 10 million people who are non-citizens. So they will come under the 70 to 80%. So if we put hurdles in the way, for example, if we make it difficult for them in terms of accessing the vaccine, then how are we going to achieve our herd immunity? So, and herd immunity is important so that in the long run, we do not need the MCO, and the economy can return to functioning as normally as possible. So
Rani,
go
ahead, Rani.
So I think the other issue, other point to consider is that we must make it worth the while of undocumented and stateless people and foreign and migrants to come forward and get screened, get tested, get vaccinated. Because actually, if you take the documented and undocumented workers, they are young, they do not have their families here, and they may not suffer, a COVID infection the way a Malaysian would, because we go back to our families and we can infect the more vulnerable people in our families, in the community. So if you look at it from that point of view as well, we must see how we can make vaccination accessible to as many as to the whole population of non-Malaysians as well who are in the country.
Rani, you know, I think the WHO and other NGOs have made the basic principles of public health management very clear. The issue is, I guess, at this point now, what are the practical steps that need to be taken in order to bring on board, especially migrant workers who are undocumented? Because to actually run a vaccination program, you'd have to target them. You need to know where they are. And undocumented workers are, by their very nature, not identifiable, invisible to at least government. And how do you think government should approach this?
I think they are not visible or unidentifiable because there is such a big trust deficit between the government and this community. because, you know, they are always viewed as a security threat, and there are raids against them. And even when there are amnesty programs, they are still targeted. So we don't expect so much cooperation from them. We don't expect them to come forward willingly, unless the Prime Minister and other ministers as well consistently tell them that we will, ask them to come forward with the assurance that they will not be caught, they will not be arrested when they come forward, they will not be deported. So there's got to be a moratorium, at least about for a year, until the program is completed.
Rani, can you talk a little bit about how to address the trust deficit, especially given what happened previously with the raids during the EMCO? How much of trust building would have to go into this, even if there is a moratorium, or if there is, you know, the idea of trying to vaccinate undocumented workers or stateless people or even refugees, trying to get them to come forward given previous experience with authorities in Malaysia? How much trust building needs to be done?
I think a lot of trust building, and I think all the people in government, the ministers who speak on migrant issues, they have to all speak the same language. You know, they have to reassure this community that they will not be penalized for coming forward. You know, that there is a moratorium, they will stick to it. They have to keep on saying that, and they have to do it. You know, they have they have to win over the trust.
Rani, is one of the problems actually not just government, though, you know, almost very recently, I think the minister in charge of Home Affairs said that he wanted to see the military empowered to detain and arrest illegal migrant workers. That aside, do you think part of the problem is that our population itself, I mean, Malaysians, there's a segment of us who are not convinced by this, and therefore it's very easy for politicians to raise the security framework in talking about foreign workers. I mean, how do we address ordinary Malaysians who don't think that migrants should be treated with care or seen as partners in this fight against COVID?
Okay, I think how do we form perspectives and opinions? I think a lot of it is based on what we read in the mainstream media. It's what our politicians tell us. It's how they refer to migrant workers. Actually, if you look at the migrant community, they are our guests, especially the migrant workers, the undocumented workers, and members of the migrant community who are working and contributing to the economy. So they are often, you know, their contribution is not recognized. Instead, they're always spoken about in terms of security threat. You know, the body language is terrible when you see ministers meeting migrant workers who just landed in the country. You know, all the migrant workers are seated on the floor, and then you have these ministers, you know, standing over them. And, you know, I mean, they're not slaves. They're coming here to work. You know, but the way they are treated, the way the kind of language used on them, the lack of appreciation for their contribution, I think, and also there's a lot of comparison between the local workforce and the migrant workforce, where always there's a comparison that migrant workers are, you know, more prepared to work for longer hours, and, you know, they work harder and so on, without taking into account the fact that local workers have their families here, they've got different needs, and we are coming from a country that is an importer of migrant labor.
Right.
You know, and so the people here, we are a richer country, we are a richer third world country, and we deserve better, we deserve more. The workers here have a right to ask for more, and shouldn't be expected to come to have the expectations of, you know, migrant workers from overseas.
What have you heard when you do your work on the ground? What have you heard from them? Are they apprehensive about a vaccine rollout? Do they want to be included? Are they skeptical that they will be included? What have been some of the feedback that you've heard from migrant workers that you've been in touch with?
Okay, I cannot speak too much on that, but I would imagine that as a group of workers, they are younger. You know, they are a certain age group. They are among the fitter ones. And I think in comparison with, as a community, as a worker community, working age community, maybe there is no great, great urgency. I believe. Okay, this I'm not basing on what I hear on the ground. But I believe there may not be the urgency in getting vaccinated.
Rani, if the government decides to charge non-citizens for the vaccine, do you believe that foreign workers, documented or otherwise, would come forward to get vaccinated?
I believe definitely not. And it will work against us as well. It will. Our vaccination program will flop, I think, if we're going to make them pay, for their vaccines.
Rani, finally, what do you see happening in the next couple of months, especially when, in terms of outreach? Would you, because the migrant community is also multilingual, it's spread across the country, some migrants actually cross borders, perhaps southern Thailand, on the Borneo states or territories have a long border with Indonesia. When you think about migrant workers, are you thinking about those kinds of conditions as well?
Okay, I think that's a very very general question. But I think that this border thing is not a very big issue, I think. The one that is contributing to workers coming in illegally and all that. I think it's more the fact that I think most undocumented workers here are employed. And that is because even the employer community, even the bosses, find a lot of the policies here on migrant labor very difficult to comply with. And the costs involved, they find it too high. Mm-hmm. So actually our SMEs employ a large number. I think 3/4 of the employees are from undocumented workers. So that's one thing. The other thing is that on the multilingual profile of our migrant workers, I don't think that is a problem. I think the CSOs, the community service organizations, are in a position to help out in that.
Understood. Rani, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate your insights and you joining us on the show tonight. Thanks. We're going to take a quick break here and Consider This. We'll be back with more, so stay tuned.